Chapter 10. The officer of the firing squad, mortified by his blunder, hastily whipped up his sword. The men once more leveled their rifles, the sword rose, dropped, and the men fired. At the report, the Cuban's head snapped back almost between his shoulders, but his body fell slowly, as though someone had pushed him gently forward from behind, and he had stumbled. He sank on his side in the wet grass without a struggle or sound, and did not move again. It was difficult to believe that he meant to lie there, that it could be ended so without a word, that the man in the linen suit would not get up on his feet and continue to walk on over the hills, as he apparently had started to do, to his home, that there was not a mistake somewhere, or that at least someone would be sorry, or say something or run to pick him up. But, fortunately, he did not need help, and the priest returned, the younger one, with the tears running down his face, and donned their vestments, and read a brief requiem for his soul, while the squad stood uncovered, and the men in hollow square shook their accoutrements into place, and shifted their pieces, and got ready for the order to march, and the band began again with the same quick step which the fusillade had interrupted. The figure still lay on the grass untouched, and no one seemed to remember that it had walked there of itself, or noticed that the cigarette still burned, a tiny ring of living fire, at the place where the figure had first stood. The figure was a thing of the past, and the squad shook itself like a great snake, and then broke into little pieces and started off jauntily, stumbling in the high grass and striving to keep step to the music. The officers led it past the figure in the linen suit, and so close to it, that the file closers had to part with the column, to avoid treading on it. Each soldier as he passed turned and looked down on it, some craning their necks curiously, others giving a careless glance, and some without any interest at all, as they would have looked at a house by the roadside, or a passing cart or a hole in the road. One young soldier caught his foot in a trailing vine, and fell forward just opposite to it. He grew very red, when his comrades giggled at him for his awkwardness. The crowd of sleepy spectators fell in on either side of the band. They had forgotten it too, and the priests put their vestments back in the bag, and wrapped their heavy cloaks about them, and hurried off after the others. Everyone seemed to have forgotten it except two men, who came slowly toward it from the town, driving a bullock cart that bore an unplaned coffin, each with a cigarette between his lips, and with his throat wrapped in a shawl, to keep out the morning mists. At that moment the sun, which had shown some promise of its coming in the glow above the hills, shot up suddenly from behind them in all the splendor of the tropics, a fierce red disk of heat, and filled the air with warmth and light. The bayonets of the retreating column flashed in it, and at the sight of it a rooster in a farmyard nearby crowed vigorously, and a dozen bugles answered the challenge with the brisk, cheery notes of the reveille, and from all parts of the city the church bells jangled out the call for early mass, and the whole world of Santa Clara seemed to stir and stretch itself, and to wake to welcome the day just begun. But as I fell in at the rear of the procession, and looked back, the figure of the young Cuban, who was no longer a part of the world of Santa Clara, was asleep in the wet grass, with his motionless arms still tightly bound behind him, with the scapula twisted awry across his face, and the blood from his breast sinking into the soil he had tried to free. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.